Spare Parts, page 94. The idea of finishing last didn't sit well with Oscar. At the team's first design meeting in November 2003, he took charge. "We're gonna kick butt, okay?" Lorenzo laughed until Oscar's stare shut him up. Oscar started going over the description of the contest. Mate's official introduction to the Explorer-class mission began with a quotation from General George S. Patton. "Accept the challenges so that you may feel the exhilaration of victory." Oscar liked that. He was ready, even if the others weren't, and he was determined to drag them along with him. The third paragraph of the mission statement also made an impact. "This is an exploration mission. Exploration means discovery of the new and the unexpected. This competition will push your imagination and technical skills. Enter the event with the spirit of the men and women explorers who have set out into the unknown." The event organizers may not have been thinking about four boys from a ghetto high school, but the words resonated. One of the first tasks was figuring out how they were going to pay for it all. Mate would cover meals and housing in Santa Barbara and provide $100 for building supplies. That was about enough to cover the cost of driving to California. They were going to need a lot more than that. So Freddie printed up brochures that explained that anybody who donated to the club would get a dollar-for-dollar Arizona state tax deduction. Lorenzo didn't really understand what he was talking about. All he heard was that Freddie wanted him to ask people for money. "I don't know anybody with money," Lorenzo said. "Ask your family," Freddie said. Lorenzo laughed. "They don't got nothing." Still, Lorenzo took some brochures and asked an older cousin to donate. She had a job cleaning motel rooms and might have some spare cash. "I'm going to be competing in an underwater robotics competition," he told her. Lorenzo was known as a jokester in his family, and this was probably one of the weirdest requests the family had ever heard. The cousin refused to donate. Christian didn't have any better luck. His parents couldn't spare any money, so he phoned uncles and aunts in California and southern Arizona. They said they'd think about it and never sent anything in. Surprisingly, Luis made some early progress. One day after work at Doc's, he approached his boss, Harold, and handed him a robotics brochure. Harold was astonished to learn that his giant, taciturn, short-order cook was involved in a NASA-sponsored underwater robotics contest. "I didn't see that coming," he said, and wrote out a check for $100. Oscar tried a similar approach. He stopped by Quality Bedding, the mattress factory that his dad worked at. Oscar had spent his summers assembling box frames alongside his dad, so he knew the owner, Iris Oroz, and many of the employees. He handed a brochure to Oroz and explained that West Phoenix was going up against the best of the best. They needed local support if they were going to have a shot. His pitch resonated. Oroz wrote a check for $400, and an employee chipped in another $400. That gave them a budget of about $900. It wasn't much, but to four teens from West Phoenix, it seemed like an extravagant amount of money to spend on a robot. Now that they had some funding, they began talking about building the robot. The team started by breaking apart a small trebuchet they'd made during the pumpkin hurling contest. They wanted to figure out how big their ROV needed to be to accommodate propellers, sensors, and controls. They used the 2x1 lumber to make a simple box structure. Once it was done, they stood around the awkward wooden model in the robotics closet and talked through the tasks they were going to have to complete. The first, measure the depth and length of the mocked-up submarine. Lorenzo pictured the submarine underwater and thought of the simplest possible approach, a length of string. If their ROV could stretch the string from one end to the other, they could measure it. Similarly, they could lower the string from the surface until it touched the bottom of the pool and get a depth reading that way. He proposed the idea to the group. "And what if it doesn't reach the bottom?" Christian pointed out. It seemed like a stupid idea. Lorenzo thought about it for a second. "Yeah, that's a flaw." The group continued brainstorming, but Lorenzo kept thinking about string. After a minute, he came up with a new approach. "Hey, what if we hung a string down from a floating thing? We could draw markings on it every foot and use a camera to see how far down it went." This time, it took Christian a minute to shoot the idea down. The string could get caught in the propellers, and we're penalized if we leave anything behind in the pool, so we'd waste time trying to retrieve it. Lorenzo looked disappointed. He thought he was onto something. "But it wasn't a terrible idea," Christian allowed. Lorenzo brightened. "What about just using a tape measure? We can tie a loop onto the end, hook it onto the submarine, and drive the robot backward. The tape will just roll out." "Well, how do we read it?" Oscar asked. "Aim a camera at it," Lorenzo said. "We can read it off the video monitor." "That could work," Oscar said. Lorenzo flushed with pride. He rarely got compliments for his ideas. He was used to standing behind his godfather and brother, watching them come up with all the cool ideas while they worked on cars. He was expected to silently observe. Now he had a chance to contribute, and it felt good. "It won't work for depth, though," Christian pointed out. "There's nothing at the bottom of the pool to hook onto." They decided that they'd need two solutions. Lorenzo's tape measure would work for the sub's length, but they'd need something else to gauge depth. They talked about using a scuba diving computer. They might be able to borrow one from the dive shop, but its margin of error was too big for the precision measurements they were required to make. "What about a laser tape measure?" Oscar asked. He had worked with his brother on a construction site and seen people using devices that could pinpoint a distance just by aiming a laser beam at an object. "Will it work underwater?" Christian asked. Oscar didn't know. He'd never used one himself. "You guys should call somebody," Freddy advised. "The best way to figure something out is to call an expert." Lorenzo was pretty sure nobody would help them, and Luis was obviously not going to make any calls. He barely talked to his teammates. Christian felt he could figure it out on his own, given time. It wasn't a great attitude to have when asking for help, so Oscar decided to make the calls. He started by Googling laser tape measures and quickly came across a company called DistaGauge in Marathon, Florida. The company specialized in lasers that could read distance as far as 330 feet with an accuracy of an eighth of an inch. Some units could even measure the slope and length of a roof from the ground. The site noted that their top-of-the-line device was used by more construction professionals around the world than any other brand.